There are many other questions people have about the swine flu, and not just in Mexico. To help answer some of those questions, we called Peter Sandman. He's a risk communication consultant based in Princeton, New Jersey. Sandman's an expert on how to communicate with the public about emergencies, so we asked him how he thinks the U.S. response to the outbreak is going.
It's doing some things extremely well and some things quite badly. I'm very impressed with how candid the CDC and others in the U.S. government are being about how dangerous the situation might be. I'm impressed with how candid they're being about how uncertain the situation is. Here's what they're doing badly. They are not making any effort to involve the American public. It's as if, you know, they're telling us this is very serious. We are responding aggressively. You don't have to. You know, watch while we protect you. And that's bad in a bunch of ways. It's bad logistically because we need people to be taking precautions, to stockpile food, to stockpile medications, to get a full tank of gas, get some more cash in your wallet so if the ATMs stop working, you're still okay. These are things that would make people tune in who have so far tuned out.
Peter, when you're talking about things like getting ATM cash, you know, stocking up on water or, you know, tuna fish, medical supplies, et cetera, that all sounds rather apocalyptic and, you know, the aftermath of either a terrorist attack or some kind of cataclysmic natural disaster. Isn't that an overreaction? I mean, why would you have to get money out of your ATM machine if you're really just trying to prevent yourself and other people from getting the swine flu?
It all depends what's going to happen over the next couple of days and weeks. I mean, it now looks like a pandemic is likely. It's not clear that it's imminent, but it could very well be imminent. And we haven't a clue whether it's going to be serious or how serious it's going to be. If there are, you know, millions of people dying, obviously that is cataclysmic. But suppose there aren't millions of people dying. Suppose there are only millions of people feeling crappy, you know, not going to work and not going about their normal business because they're not well. You know, it's not a cataclysm. But it's still true that if there's a pandemic and it sickens large numbers of people at the same time, supply lines are going to be disrupted. Markets may or may not be open. That's not catastrophic, but it is disruptive.
Yeah, we should
be ready for that. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. It means if it does, you're not up a creek without a paddle.
Let me introduce here Christine Gorman, who is a longtime health and medical journalist. She wrote for Time magazine. She blogs about global health. Christine, can you compare this reaction to this threat, the reaction of the United States government, to the way Mexico's government has responded?
Well, Mexico has told people not to eat out in restaurants. They're clearly trying to get social distancing so that there aren't large groups of people. They are at a more advanced stage than we are, with the exception of Vice President Biden saying that he wouldn't get on a plane and he's told his family members not to get on a plane or
yeah, basically
train.
Because of the air, the way the air is circulated, he says if somebody has it, then we're all going to be breathing that air. I mean, is that an overreaction?
I think that is an overreaction. I mean, I wish he had said, you know, if you're sick, don't get on a plane, as opposed to telling all healthy people not to get on a plane.
Well, right now, do people know? I mean, there is an incubation period. Will people always know if they're sick and whether it's the swine flu?
Okay, so the incubation period is about 24 hours, as far as we know, asymptomatic, without symptoms, and then maybe another 7 days if you have symptoms. Most people know when they have flu. And so if you're sick, stay home. That's the first message that we're getting from U.S. government and health officials. In some respects, it's actually not what's happening in the U.S. and Mexico that is concerning. It's what's happening in Britain, in Europe. There seems to be much more of a very funny kind of wanting to downplay. Even when you hear Margaret Chan talking about going to pandemic level 5.
This is the WHO director, Director General Margaret Chan.
Right. So when Director General Margaret Chan, Director General of the WHO, talks about going to level 5, she both is telling everybody to, you know, come together, and yet at the same time she's sort of downplaying it. And it's this funny kind of message that in England and in some other places, people are definitely not taking the threat seriously enough because there haven't been a lot of deaths outside of Mexico.
Once again, we're speaking with health journalist Christine Gorman and risk communication consultant Peter Sandman. Our conversation with them about swine flu continues after we take a quick break. I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Back now to our questions about the swine flu. We're getting some answers today from health journalist Christine Gorman and risk communication consultant Peter Sandman. Next question went to Peter Sandman. Should the United States close the border with Mexico?
The danger is now not coming from across the border anymore. It's coming from across the street. It's the wrong focus. It's very, very tempting to want to close the border. It's very tempting to want to close airports. In pandemic drills, routinely, politicians close borders and close airports in order to try to keep it from getting from where it is to where they are. The experts invariably say that's foolish. You're going to do more harm to your supply chain by stopping the trucks and freight than you are going to do good by trying to stop the virus. The experts say it's foolish. The politicians say, all right, maybe it's foolish, but if I don't do it, my constituents will crucify me. And they close the airport, then they close the border. Do I think it makes sense biologically? No. Does it make sense psychologically? Yeah, it's very hard not to want to do it.
Although I imagine there would be an enormous psychological reaction if that were the case. But if Mexico right now, if it appears that the outbreak has been at least stabilized, and the reason being the aggressive measures that have been taken there, that people are not congregating in en masse in major population areas, then wouldn't it make sense, as undesirable as it might sound, wouldn't it make sense to not plant any more seeds here in the United States?
We have to really think about virology, and viruses work very different from what we think they should, how they should work, and actually researchers don't even understand completely how the flu virus works. I mean, in many ways, I'm really paying attention to what's happening in New York City, where we had an outbreak. Some kids came back from spring break in a school in Queens. Hundreds of people became sick. It wasn't just the kids who were in Mexico, so it's the people who traveled to Mexico, gave it to their families and to their friends. And we haven't seen continued sustained spread throughout Queens. And that's really what you're looking for, is that sustained transmission. It's the same virus. In fact, virologists were saying it's kind of remarkable, given how sloppy a virus flu is, how closely related the genetic sequences are from the ones isolated in California, in Texas, and in Mexico. So you don't have to say, okay, well, you know, as bad as it sounds, we should block the border. That is not going to work. You know, are you going to block New York from the rest of the country? I don't think so. We have to be adult about this and take information that is unclear at the moment, that will become more clear as we go on, and take appropriate steps.
From both of you, as we say goodbye here, Peter Sandman and Christine Gorman, have you taken any precautions in your own lives?
Well, yes, I have taken some precautions. I did stock up on some canned soup, and am a little bit more careful about shaking people's hands, and have thought about, okay, if I were out sick for several days, do I have enough of the basic supplies I need at home?
Peter?
Can I ask Christine a question?
Go ahead.
Christine, you have stocked up on canned soup and other supplies. Have you advised your readers to do so?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What are you worried about, Peter?
Well, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. I think the government is taking this very seriously, hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst. It needs to tell the public to do the same. Like Christine, I have replenished my larder. So if there are a couple of weeks during which either, you know, it's not entirely safe to go out, or there's not much in the store anyhow because the trucks have been stopped at the Mexican border, I've got plenty of peanut butter, I've got plenty of canned goods, I've got plenty of bottled water. I'm good to stay where I am for a couple of weeks. I am aghast that the government thinks this is serious enough that they have sent millions of doses of Tamiflu out to the states so they'll be ready to give to millions of Americans who might get sick. But they haven't told those millions of Americans who might get sick that now, while they're healthy, they should stock up on tuna.
All right. Thank you both very much for your insights, personal and professional as well. Christine Gorman, health and medical journalist. She blogs about global health. You can find a link to her blog at theworld.org. And she joined us from the BBC studios in New York. Peter Sandman is a risk communications consultant. He joined us from Princeton, New Jersey. Nice to have you both on. Stay healthy.
Thank you.
We'll try.